channels for the Lord to use in this world of woe. 477. Discuss with you reasons Christians should not celebrate Christmas. All right. Number one, Christmas is a Christianized pagan holiday. Just put, it's a Christianized pagan holiday. It doesn't take much reading in any encyclopedia. You can take a look in any good library and find the information you need about the manners and customs of lands and people, to conclude that Christmas has many of its traditions founded in paganism. Right? The celebrating of Christmas, as people and Christians do today, is not much different from the celebrations of the winter solstice and the birth of the pagan's sun god. I quote to you from a book concerning what went on even before the time of Christ, before Christ was born. This was going on. Listen to this. In Babylon, the birthday of Tammuz, interesting name for the god there, Tammuz, starting with a T. Very often they use the sign of a cross to commemorate their god Tammuz, was celebrated at the time of the winter solstice with great feasts, revelry, and drunkenness, the same way many celebrate it today. When this midwinter festival came to Rome, it was known as the Saturnalia, Saturn being but another name of Nimrod or Tammuz as the hidden god. This feast was the most vile, immoral feast that ever disgraced pagan Rome. It was a season of license, drunkenness, and debauchery when all restraints of law were laid aside. And it was from this very feast at Rome that the merrymaking of this season passed into the Roman Catholic Church and on down to our present civilization. It's a matter of common knowledge, says one writer, that much of our association with the Christmas season, the holidays, the giving of presents, and the general feeling of geniality is but the inheritance from the Roman winter festival of the Saturnalia, or survivals of paganism. So, what do you think about that? Christmas is a Christianized pagan holiday, folks. Number two, Christmas is an unholy mixture of Jesus Christ with paganism. If you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 42 and verse 8, Isaiah 42 verse 8, we get some instruction from our God in reference to this mixing the holy with the unholy. Christmas is an unholy mixture of Jesus Christ with paganism. Without a doubt, I know that much of Christianity is celebrating this holiday with Jesus Christ as the foremost figure. I understand that. And the whole story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and so forth. But it is an unholy mixture of Jesus Christ with paganism. Isaiah 42 verse 8 says this, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The word Christmas itself, the very word Christmas, is a compound of two words, Christ and Mass. Now, I've heard some those who want to defend the celebrating of Christmas, and they'll say that this word does not mean what I'm about to tell you it means. They say Christ, of course, and then Mass, they'll say, comes from Massey, which means to send. And I cannot help but see it as completely Roman Catholic in origin, and the word Christ and Mass being put together. To the believer, the Catholic Mass is considered unscriptural. The reenactment and actual sacrifice of Christ on the Roman Catholic altars is error. Major doctrinal error. And makes the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross insufficient to save sinners. Just believing in the death of Christ on the cross is not sufficient. You've got to believe and attend to Christ Mass. And of course, every Christmas Eve, the Pope has a major display in the Vatican, and he does a Christmas Eve Mass. And if you've ever watched that, and I have a few times, and it just gets me all riled up every time I do it. I don't know why I do it. I guess it's just I want to see what they're doing. And I don't find anything like it in my Bible at all. It is a very pagan procession or tradition. The garments that everybody wears, I look in vain in my Bible for such things. The golden vessels and cups and plates and everything, the things dangling around everybody's neck, and the little rods that they hold in their hands with the crosses on it, and Jesus hanging on that cross still, called a crucifix, is just something that comes out of, a fairy tale book rather than the Word of God. But this is what goes on, folks, in our world. And we need to consider just what we're going to do with this. Christmas is an unholy mixture of Jesus Christ with paganism. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ died once to save sinners and never needs to be repeated. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The Catholic Mass itself is not found in the Bible, and actually it is a pagan ritual. Wow, when I see that Pope holding up that disc-like piece of bread, round and about the size of a softball in diameter, and he's holding it up before God up in heaven and saying some fancy words about it, that to me, folks, is paganism. And you can find that disc being used by the pagan priests of Babylon hundreds of years before Christ was ever born, because they used the sun disc and as a symbol of their sun god Tammuz. And it's all over the historical accounts. It's not just something I'm dreaming up to make it look bad. This is actual information, folks, that is available to anyone who seeks and wants to search it out. What happened? I believe Christianity in the 4th century AD after Christ became pagan in its traditions and ways. They introduced pagan ways into the Christian world and gave Christian names to all the pagan traditions that they were holding to long before Jesus Christ came on this earth. The Catholic Mass itself is not found in the Bible. It's a pagan ritual which was later Christianized to accommodate the many pagans baptized into the church during Constantine's reign over Rome. To connect our Savior's name with the unscriptural practice of the Catholic Mass is to give His glory to another. Everything you see there in the all the gold and all the chains and everything hanging and all the garments and the hats that they wear all come from paganism long before Christ. And they just want to push our Savior's name and imprint it upon all that stuff. Folks, this is just not what we should be doing. Would you go over to Ezekiel chapter 20? If you're Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 39. Ezekiel 20 and verse 39 says, "As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye everyone his idols. And hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols." How about that? "Pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols." I believe the Lord is not pleased with any compounding of His name with that which is pagan. A third reason, the erecting of Christmas trees in our homes is a form of pagan idolatry. I quote from Jeremiah 10 verses 2 through 5, and I acknowledge that this is not an actual passage speaking against the Christmas tree as we see it in the homes of people today. But I cannot help but see the similarity, which is so close to what the Lord is speaking, which is paganism and heathen, that when you read this, you say, "Whoa, boy, that's really close to the setting up of a Christmas tree in the home." It says in Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2 through 5, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good." Now, I know that's not depicting exactly the Christmas tree, but the making of idols. They go out, cut a piece of wood, and they make an idol out of this thing. And then they bow down and worship it. After they work to cut it down, shape it, and then cover it with gold, and then fasten it on some kind of a pedestal so it doesn't fall over, they then proceed to bow down and worship it as a god, a god which they made after their own hands. This is the way of the heathen. Jeremiah is speaking, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." I was asked a few weeks ago if I would attend the tree lighting service here at Catasauqua on December 6th and offer a prayer to dedicate the Christmas tree in Catasauqua. Boy, what do you do then, you know? The mayor asks you to do this. What do you say? Bah humbug, yeah? No, I didn't say that. I declined and said that I would not be able to do that. I said, "But you know, if anything else comes up you want me to be there for and pray, I'll do that. And I will. But I won't pray and ask God to bless a Christmas tree." almost like the devil said, all right, Freeman, you going to take a stand like that? Here's the mayor asking you. Boy, wouldn't that, you know, trim your feathers real nice and everything, make you look good in the eyes of all the people to offer a prayer? Oh, man. But you know what? That text that we just read there does not exactly portray the Christmas tree. But one cannot get away from the close resemblance of our present-day Christmas tree to what was done in our text. I don't know about you. When I read that, I say, wow. Anything that close to paganism is something Christians should refrain from. I think of the passage, abstain from all appearance of evil. The evergreen tree in the Bible is related with pagan idols at least 10 times. Here's some passages to check out. Deuteronomy 12:2, 1 Kings 14:23, 2 Kings 16:4 and chapter 17, verse 10, 2 Chronicles 28, verse 4, Isaiah 57, verse 5, Jeremiah 2, verse 20, chapter 3, verses 6 and 13, and chapter 17, verse 2. Evergreen tree in the Bible, almost every time it's referred to, is connected to idolatry and pagan worship. And we are supposed to bring an evergreen tree into our house. Now, I know it might smell nice, and I know when you put lights on it and tinsel on it and everything like that, it looks nice and everything. I remember it. I remember it in my parents' home as a child. For we celebrated Christmas for many years. But I can often remember sitting there as a young person, just looking at that tree with all our lights and everything on it, and just asking myself the question, why? Why? I didn't have all the information I needed to be able to understand it all, but I can just remember, why do we do this? It just didn't seem to make any sense to me. And I will have to say, as a young person, I was interested in the things of the Lord and the Bible. And I had an interest even then, which caused me to think like that. Why this tree? So you may not have considered it idolatry before to have a Christmas tree in your home, but you've got to think about it. And I'm not talking about this to judge your conscience on these things, but just to warn you about the ways of the heathen. I understand. I understand how difficult it is to take a position on this thing. But remember, we're to do all to the glory of God. Now, Christmas cannot be rationalized in order to justify celebrating it. I've heard all kinds of excuses over the years, and here are some of the excuses that I've heard. Some of these come from great evangelists, even fundamental leaders. I've heard them give some of these reasons for going ahead and celebrating Christmas anyway. They'll say things like this. Well, do you know the days of the week and the months of the year are all pagan names, such as Sunday, the sun god. January is Janus god, etc. And Christians have been going to church on Sunday, the day of the sun god, without conscience problems for centuries. Like as if that's a good argument for celebrating Christmas. But that's what they'll say. My response to this is, the day that I must celebrate in a religious manner and combine the Lord of the Bible with these pagan days of the week and months, I will stop doing it. I will stop serving the Lord if I have to push all these pagan things in with Him. We meet on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, not because we have Christianized the pagan sun god day to the Lord's day, but because we have Scripture teaching that the early Christians gathered for fellowship on the first day of the week. And that's why we meet here, not to accommodate the sun god name. The account of Christ's birth in Scripture is not a mandate for celebrating Christmas on December 25th. That's just a poor excuse put out there to try to establish, well, you know, we go to church on Sun God Day, so what's wrong with celebrating Christ's birthday on Tammuz's day, you know, December 25th. I don't think you've, with that reason, you've established anything except to say you're nothing but a compromiser. And I will not put pagan ideas together with Christ in order to celebrate. Another reason, even though we know that Christmas is pagan, we can simply give the many traditions new meanings in reference to Christ. Now, if I told you who that quote is from, I would be damaging many of your thoughts about this man. Because you all do know this man. And I'm not going to tell you who it is. Unless you want me to whisper it in your ear afterward. Because I just do not want to do that publicly and over the internet as this message may go out. But this is a quote from him. And I would say to you, I'm appalled at this statement being made here. Even though we know that Christmas is pagan, we can simply give the many traditions new meanings in reference to Christ. My response is, then everything the Roman Catholic Church does and teaches, which we believe to be contrary to Scripture, should also be accepted based upon this position. Because that's exactly what they have done with everything. All the saints were actually pagan gods, and all that they did was Christianize those pagan gods and gave them names of the saints in the Bible. And of course, Mary takes the place of the Queen of Heaven, Mother Goddess of the Babylonians. And Joseph, of course, is the husband of the Queen of Heaven who died and then was reincarnated. And of course, they put, well, then that's Jesus. He's the baby that's born. And they just smash all this paganism together with Christian names and say, it's fine. If you're going to do that with Christmas and give that as the reason why you're going to celebrate Christmas, you have nothing to say to the Roman Catholics for doing the very same thing with all the rest of the things that they do. You have nothing to say. Do not find fault with those who worship Mary, for all they have done is to give the goddess Astarte a new name, Mary, and thus have made it acceptable to Christians. This reasoning is full of error. Full of error. And I'm just appalled that this preacher would say it. But he did. Here's another quote. Christmas is a wonderful time to preach the gospel, especially when so many are thinking about the birth of Christ. All right. That's probably a better one than any other one I've heard. But we should be preaching the gospel all the time. I am amazed and appalled at the ethics of radio and TV preachers at this time of the year, using the season to reap many financial gifts for their programs. It's amazing how much distance they get out of using Christmas to get the funds in to support their ministries. Here's another one. It is so wonderful to see the smiling faces and little children so happy. It would be terrible to take this away from them, especially when we can teach them so much about God's gift of sending His Son to earth through celebrating Christmas. I'm quoting right from their statement. My response is, it is hard to understand why we need this pagan celebration to instill in our children the joy and happiness that comes through knowing Christ as Savior. Christians of old who refused to celebrate Christmas because of its pagan origin had no problem with teaching their children God's love. And quite frankly, if we need a paganized Christ to teach our children the real joy and happiness, then we might as well close up. Might as well close up shop and forget it. And just totally, it's a waste of time. Well, here's another one. The cults such as Armstrongites and Jehovah's Witnesses do not celebrate Christmas because they deny the Trinity and deity of Christ. Christians should celebrate it so as not to be identified with these cults. Okay, all right, granted. I get it. I get the reason given. It is true that these cults don't believe in the deity or the Trinity and therefore do not seek to glorify our Lord in Christmas celebration. And I believe their reason for not wanting to do it is not because they love the Lord so much, but they don't want to glorify Him as much as they ought to. And if they can find fault with all the Christians celebrating Christmas, they will do so. My response to this is, Christians ought not to celebrate Christmas for the opposite reason. Namely, that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, and we ought not to yoke His birth together with pagan traditions. So my response is just the opposite reason. There's another reason. Everyone else who claims to be Christian does it, so it can't be that bad. Oh, you hear that a lot. Well, everybody's doing it. Raymond Blanton, in his pamphlet, The Christmas Custom, says this. And I like this quote. Listen to this very carefully. The fact that the whole world so eagerly awaits and takes part in Christmas is proof that it is not of God. If it were of the Lord, the world would have no more to do with it than they do with a prayer meeting. End of quote. I thought, Yep. I walked out of our house today, this morning, we got in the car, and before we got in the car, I kind of just looked around. And I saw all this tinsel and lights and everything. All my neighbors, as far down the streets as I can see, both ways, forward, backward, north, south, east, and west, they're all preparing to celebrate my Savior's birth. And not a single one of them can get themselves up out of bed to go to church. And probably when they are made to go to that Christmas service that they have to attend at least once a year, it will be with much murmuring and complaining. I say to myself, is there something wrong with this picture? And should I just dive right into it and do it as well? I'd say no. The masses are ready to receive Christ as a babe in a manger, but readily reject Him as Lord of their lives. Here's another reason. If you can celebrate your own birthday, then why can't we celebrate Christ's birthday? Oh, that's a good one. Because I'm at fault here. I do celebrate my own birthday and my wife's birthday and children's birthday and then everybody's birthday that I can. But I don't celebrate Christ's birthday. This is probably the most legitimate excuse given so far. The Bible example of Herod's birthday celebration with the result of John the Baptist's head being cut off is used to show that if you celebrate your own birthday, which has a negative reference in the Bible, then don't criticize those who do celebrate Christmas. I believe that this argument falls when we examine the differences between celebrating your birthday and the Lord's birthday. Number one, you know your own birth date. Do you know the Lord's birth date? I don't believe you do. I don't believe there's any way you can figure it out even. You receive gifts. What does the Lord receive at Christmas? Do you decorate your home with a tree and ornaments at birthday time? Yeah. Well, let's get the tree out. It's Dad's birthday. No. Do you have special religious services for yourself? Christmas? Do you go caroling? To equate your own birthday celebration with Christmas is not possible. And if your birthday celebration does resemble Herod's, which ended up with John the Baptist's head being cut off because the girl danced so suggestively to him that he said, anything you want, John the Baptist's head. You know, if your birthday celebration resembles Herod's, maybe you better think about dropping that out of your life also. But when all is said on this excuse, it remains still an excuse. And let me just say this. I'm very aware that I'm not going to wipe out the celebration of Christmas among Christians. I know that. I'm not going to do that. And I'm sure some of you do it. And you're listening to me saying these things. But there is a need among Christians to get away from the customs of the people and be separate. It's my desire in saying this to you to help you to see the importance of worshiping and serving our Lord in a more biblical manner. In this way, the world may truly see what it means to be a Christian. Oh, I know, it's going to be tough, but our own refusal to celebrate Christmas has caused a stir among our family, friends, and neighbors. But it has also given us many opportunities to speak for the Lord. If you talk nicely and considerately, you can get opportunities to talk about your Savior, whom you love and serve all year long, not just on December 25th. I will say I do take advantage of the day off, get together with family, and if you want to, why not read the so-called Christmas story and find out just the major differences between what the Bible says about it and what the world does with it. Have a good time with your family during that time, because you are going to have the day off because the whole world stops on the 25th. I do not advocate that you don't stop or that you work somehow. Although I will tell you, in the early days of our country, when the Pilgrims came over here and the Puritans came over here with a desire to set up a place to worship God freely, they understood that the Roman way, the Popish system, would take away their freedom to do what they were doing, and they very purposely enacted laws, and I don't agree with this because I don't think you should go that far. I believe in religious liberty and toleration as well, of other people's religious views and belief systems and so forth. But they enacted laws that they must work on December 25th so as to give no credence to the Roman Church's observance of Christmas. I mean, that's how far they went on this thing. And that's the beginning of our country, folks. Martin Luther is the one who introduced the Christmas tree, and that thing has just become a mainstay in most homes today. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that the celebration and the setting up of all the decorations and everything seems to be getting more and more each year, and earlier and earlier. Soon it will be a week after Christmas, they'll start setting it up again, getting ready for the next year. But it's like Halloween and everything is already getting set up for Christmas. This world's going crazy over this thing. I just cannot involve my Savior in such a thing. I just can't. I'll give benefit of the doubt here. Listen to this. Look at this tract here. You know, the Christian use of your Christmas tree. Here's someone with a well-meaning heart wants to help you. Know what can you do with your tree and make it Christian? Okay. The Christmas tree can be used in association with Christ and His birthday. Martin Luther was one of the first to use the Christmas tree as a home decoration. While on a walk one Christmas Eve, he noticed an evergreen tree shining in the moonlight. He couldn't forget the beautiful picture. He returned home with an evergreen tree and decorated it with shining candles. He told his children that this tree should remind them of the brightness of Christmas and its message of the Savior's birth. The world would have been in eternal darkness without Christ, its light. You know, this tract just keeps on going and going and going without a shred of Bible for this at all. Like as if Martin Luther is scripture. The tree, he goes on to talk about it, how that it's a symbol of man's sin and his Savior from sin, and how Jesus died on a tree, and thus you should all get a tree and put it in your house. Its point, as your tree points heavenward, let it remind you that Jesus came from heaven on the first Christmas to be your Savior. Reference, please. It's light. Jesus, the light of the world, came to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. It's decorations. These should remind you of the beauty of the crown of everlasting life. An evergreen tree. Evergreen trees are always green. Yeah, they're always associated with idols, too, in the Bible. It's a depository for gifts. It's a good place to put gifts around. Silliness this is. Your tree will die. Cut off from its source of nourishment, your Christmas tree will soon be lifeless.
The needles soon begin to brown and dry. After Christmas, the tree will be thrown out and burned. Let this remind you that those whose faith is not regularly nourished with the Word of God will eventually become spiritually dead. What ridiculous stuff. But that's a whole tract just given to help you to figure out what to do with your pagan tree. In here, in this little gospel tract, Christmas, what makes it important, he starts out with, some mistakenly think that December 25th was the day Christ was born. The honest truth is that no one is exactly sure when Christ was born. The Bible is strangely silent on this issue. And he goes into a whole page here showing you how Christmas is pagan and Santa Claus is paganism, the Christmas tree, Yule logs, the mistletoe and everything else. And then he ends the tract with saying, oh, but we can still use Christmas for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. After establishing it's all pagan in origin, we can still associate Christmas with our Savior Jesus Christ. Learn not the way of the heathen, the Bible teaches us. And I would encourage you to think about it for yourself and just how far you're going to go along with this thing and Christ's birth and so forth. And what are you going to teach your children about it? By God's grace, I hope and pray that every one of you will determine, I'm not going to put my Savior in with all these pagan things. I'm not going to mix him up with those things. That would be my heart's desire. We're not the only church that doesn't celebrate Christmas. There are other good, sound Bible-believing churches around that do the same. I encourage you to look at one man's church. His name is John Knox, and he's down in Texas. He has a church down there, and he's got a website. And I tell you what, I've heard him preaching the same kind of things I was saying here tonight, and you can hear the people in the background just shouting, amen, 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 because I believe that a good number of those people were saved out of Romanism, and they know the power of Romanism and its traditions as opposed to the Bible. And I believe that they are just so happy to be saved by grace, and they would not in any way want to mix their Savior together with paganism. That's kind of how I am, folks. I cannot do it. It took a little while to get to this position. Some people say to me, boy, how can you do it? It's very, very hard and very difficult. My wife said something very interesting to someone the other day about it. She said, it gets easier every year. It gets easier each year. To be able to let it come and go. It's like anything that you do and that you like to do. It's not easy to give it up. But then I believe if you ask the Lord to help you, He can just show you things year after year that maybe you ought to stop doing, you know. And of course, how many people spend way too much money they don't have, for gifts for people who could care less. And the only reason they're going to give you a gift is because you gave them a gift. And it gets to be a swapping thing year after year. And people go in debt, financial debt, to take care of celebrating my Savior's birth. I just have a hard time with it all. I cannot go along with it. By God's grace, I won't until He comes for us. And I think one of the first things I'm going to ask the Lord I have a lot of things I want to ask Him first. But I want to ask Him, what day were you born? Just what day were you born on? Could we have that settled once and for all? And if He says December 25th, I will surely be the most surprised person in heaven if He should say that. Because I think if any day, that day is not the day He was born on. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, just help us with these matters. These are not easy. These are not easy matters to discuss or talk about, because they really lie in a lot of the traditions we've done and family things and so forth. This is a touchy subject. And so, Father, give understanding and give strength and resolve to do the right thing. Guide us all through this time of the year and help us not to mix Christ up with pagan ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. Have a good night.